You're listening to the Girl Banker Podcast. I'm your host, Natalie Bartholomew. I'm happy to introduce my listeners to the Twigs Group. They specialize in helping community banks with their marketing strategies and understand the challenges you're up against in today's rapidly changing banking environment. Visit welovecommunitybanks.com to see how the Twigs Group loves community bank marketing.
Calling all girl bankers. Are you a woman in banking? Check out the Girl Banker Facebook group where you can join hundreds of women in banking from around the country in sharing best practices, motivation, ideas, and much more. This is a fantastic community for all girl bankers out there. So join in today. Just search the Girl Banker group on Facebook, complete the questions, make sure that you're a woman in banking, and join the conversation. I'll see you there.
Okay, Girl Banker podcast listeners, it's exciting to be back with you. Took a little break for the last couple of weeks. It's been a wild time at the bank. So I'm so excited to be here with none other than the Emily Mays, who is the Vice President, Senior Marketing Director for Community Spirit Bank in Alabama. Emily, thank you for being here with me.
Thank you, Natalie. I'm so excited. We have been talking about this podcast for, I think, close to a year.
Yes.
Now, maybe. So thank you for having me. I'm super excited to be a part of it today.
Well, so glad to have you here. And I always like to tell how I met my guests. And so our story is fun. We met online, which sounds funny.
I think in today's age, that's an acceptable answer.
Right. So we got connected through social media and just being in that banking space in social media and follow each other on all the platforms. And it's fun how we've been able to connect with people in each other's lives just through social media that we haven't actually met in person. So it's really cool just what that connection. We finally got to meet, I guess it was a couple of years ago at the CASASA conference in Austin. Wasn't that where we met in person for the first time?
Yeah, I believe so. I think that was around 2018-ish.
Yeah. I can't believe it's already been almost 2 years because I think it was like in October of that year. So
yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's such a fun way to connect with so many people now, you know, meeting online and meeting in that social space. And I feel like I have so many social besties that I haven't ever really even got to shake their hand or hug their neck or anything like that. And that's such a, you know, a powerful statement to feel so connected. You're rooting for them, you're cheering for them.
Yes.
And I think that's how we really connected and made so many other cross connections.
Absolutely.
In the girl space, the banking space, and just the social space of just rooting for each other and kind of having similar goals and missions.
100%. And that's something I feel like you do so good at. Like, you're such a good advocate for community bankers in general. And the messaging that you have on your social platforms is always very positive and so relatable. So I encourage everyone to go follow Emily. We'll give your social handles at the end. But tell us how you got into banking. I think that's a great leeway into our podcast, is to talk about your own girl banker story.
Absolutely. You know, I really had to sort of think through telling this tale because I'm like, what really, you know, community banker to the core. And I'm like, and it's such a passion of mine, but I'm like, how did I really get here? Like, what was that path like? And I actually started in the financial industry for a too big to fail firm. It wasn't a community institution back in 2005. And I was living in Auburn, and you know, that's just sort of where I started as a lender. You mm-hmm. know, it was just in that big corporate type structure. I had my daughter in 2008. And in 2009, we moved back home to North Alabama after living away for like a decade. And then like around 2011, 2012, things in my life really started changing rapidly, very mm-hmm. rapidly. You know, in the span of about 13 months, I was newly divorced. And navigating a single working mother environment, which was completely new. I had been married since I was like 18 years old. We sold a home, so I was moving closer to my parents' farm, and I lost my job. So wow. the too big to fail had downsized. My entire branch was displaced. So I was, you know, standing there at 30 years old, and my whole life had took a flip, you know.
Yeah.
So very, very uncharted territory, to say the least, for sure. Mm-hmm. And a friend of mine was like, oh, there's a teller position at Community Spirit Bank. And I had my mortgage with Community Spirit Bank after we had moved from Auburn. So I was familiar with those guys. And, but you know, that really felt like a major step backwards in my career, you know, after 8 years of being a lender, and I was applying for the drive-through teller position. So, which is totally fine, but it felt after the year I had, it really was another rock, you know, but I was really, really blessed when that actually came about, because the COO of our bank was relentless in getting me to Community Spirit Bank. And I always tease her that it was my Jonah and the whale story. You know, kind of like how God was trying to get Jonah to Nineveh and he wouldn't go. Right. That was sort of where Emily was in going to the bank. So, but thankfully, she was relentless and just hung with me. And I took that position and just little incremental things happened. I worked in that position about 5 months. Shortly after that, took the marketing director position, now serving as vice president and senior marketing director, and a lot of steps in between. So that's been really exciting to see that role change and evolve over the last 7.5 years.
Yeah, no doubt. What an inspiring story. And I have no doubt that there's somebody listening right now that just probably gave them chills. Because what a cool story of you thinking that your life was upside down and then suddenly it turned into what you have now, which from the outside looking in looks like a wonderful place to be.
Oh, absolutely. Greatest blessings come in disguise.
Right.
For sure. And it was absolutely every bit of that was a tremendous blessing for sure.
So speaking of Community Spirit, tell us a little bit, because I mean, what an appropriate name for your bank. I've never visited your bank in person, but everything that I see from your employees, starting with your CEO, Brad, who is incredibly active on social media as well. You guys are just like one big family.
We are. It is a very tightly knit group. We're a small institution, about 160 million in asset size. We cover Northwest Alabama and Northeast Mississippi. So a good rural footprint. It's very small town USA, especially here in Red Bay where our main office is. But it's kind of the institution where everybody from the chairman to the person that's running the desk mop has the same mission in mind. Mm-hmm. And it is a servant leadership ran institution. So very inspiring to be a part of it for sure.
Yeah. And so who sets that tone? Who starts with that?
I think that tone started many years ago. We're founded in 1908. And I think that mission was sort of started at the beginning and has been passed on to each leader thereafter. And is so important that it's ingrained. Mm-hmm. The community knows who we are. Every employee knows who we are, and everyone has the same goal and focus to be that community. What can we make better?
Right.
You know, what trees can we plant today for someone to enjoy the shade in 20 years?
Oh, that's a good, I love that analogy.
That's from our chairman. He's famous for that one. And, you know, that we may never sit in the shade of, but we're making our place, our Main Street, a better place for the future. Mm-hmm. And I think that being spoken and expressed regularly by senior management is just ingrained all the way throughout the organization.
So tell us a little bit about some of the things that you guys do in your community, because again, community spirit, you guys have so much community spirit, especially with what the branches that you have in some of the local schools. That is fascinating to me, especially from a marketing perspective. I started in banking as an 18-year-old teller. And so here I was in high school thinking already about wanting to be in banking. And often young kids, specifically high school age, have zero interest in a career in banking. So tell us about how that's maybe created some recruitment opportunities for you even.
For sure. It's been more than we ever could have imagined. We started with just a digital financial literacy investment. We had the EverFi program here and we've been a part of that. That was actually one of my first projects when I came onto the bank. It's like, here's financial literacy program. So we started with like 4 schools. Now we have 10 that participate and do the digital financial literacy coursework. They get certified. We go on when we can go on site. They get to have certification parties, things like that. And that little program just started growing. And then we were approached by one of the career directors here in the county to open a bank in one of the schools. So we were like, okay, we think we can do this.
Yeah.
And there's a couple others in Alabama that had done it. So we started researching that. And you know, we took that opportunity to do some capital improvements at the school, to do some security improvements at the school, and create an awesome, cool-looking branch It's student-led and operated. We have a teacher that facilitates that. We have a second one on another campus now, so we have two in-school bank branches. But it's been really fun because the students have to apply. So they have to do their first resume. Most of them have never done that. They go through an interview process. They get hired. They're volunteer only. They're not paid. It is a financial literacy initiative. But then they also get to put this on resumes, applications for college in the future. We have hired a handful of tellers after graduation right into the bank that are still here. You know, they've been with us 3 or 4 years now. So
that's just such a fantastic idea for so many reasons. Like you said, what a resume builder for those kids at the high school level, and for them to be able to have that experience just personally, whether they stay in banking or not, but also to plant that seed of what career opportunities are available to them. And in such a neat environment. If you guys haven't seen this and you're listening, you need to go follow Emily. She's got pictures of it on her Instagram and Facebook. So does Community Spirit Bank. You've got to check this out. I'm fascinated by it.
It's a lot of fun.
Have you had some people try to copy it, other banks?
In a few ways. Yeah. and it's good to help each other. And we had banks, you know, that helped us kind of launch a program. So we definitely return that favor. And we have banks come on site, do tours. We share teller manuals with them to help them get going. So that's definitely nice about community banking is
we
do sort of support each other in that. But it's been so much fun. It had so many cool caveats come from those programs. So a lot of fun.
That's so cool. That is so cool. So I want to shift gears just a tad and talk about the social bankers. And so you're kind of steering that group now. So tell us about that, because you might have some people listening today that'd be interested in following along.
Absolutely. Such a fun project that Tim Martinson, actually, if you don't follow Tim, you need to, because he's a great insight. But he sort of posed this idea to myself and a couple of other bankers, actually, I guess about a couple of years ago now, at a conference where we all were meeting for the first time. And like, what if we just were a support system for each other? Mm-hmm. You know, and what if we just sort of started forming this informal group, and we have people to brainstorm with and teach us new things? And so that's been really exciting. And a lot of us, and I guess when you are in the social world, you kind of are a people-y person. And we had all made so many great connections through social media, through just connecting with other banks that we liked the way they did things. We liked how they shared their information. So you became friends with that marketing manager. And now it's grown to a group. I think we're just shy of 30 members at this point. We have a few agency people in the group with us. We take turns hosting, you know, weekly calls and kind of just chit chat with each other. We have fun trivia. It's a great outlet to just coordinate and network with people who are kind of in the same boat as you are in a lot of ways.
Having that network of peers, one of the things I always preach is networking, and having the ability to reach out with just needing a policy or needing, you know, or we've all had the wildest things happen in 2020. And being able to kind of navigate that together is really helpful.
Oh, absolutely. And just like you said, a policy, or I have somebody on social media that's like blasting us. Has anyone had experience with this? Or I have an exam coming up. Has anyone got any hot topic tips for that? And then, you know, I think there's a lot of value, even if you're not formal in a social bankers group, in just being a social, you and myself included, we are both socially sharing type people. And just on a personal level, I love to share what I'm doing in banking, because people think it is just a banker goes to the bank and runs the teller drawer and makes a loan. And there are so many other capacities that we get to be a part of, so many other things in our communities that we're a part of. And sharing socially, I love the expression, this is my mountain and this is how I move it. Because I think, you know, there might be a student somewhere that follows me and is like, well, I could probably do those things and go to a conference in Miami and, you know, this is how those things, there's a lot more to it than what's on the surface. And I think sharing the good, the bad, the ugly, the fun, the weird helps not only
that applies.
Yes. You know, it helps us, it helps our peers. And like you said earlier, you know, there may be someone sitting right in your shoes at that moment and is overwhelmed, and they say, yeah, they're in the same spot as me and they're going to make it. I'm going to make it. And so just sharing kind of builds connection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think having those connections has been so helpful in this very bizarre year but also as banking is changing and our roles are kind of, I mean, we never know what each day is going to bring. And so it's great to have that connection to be able to reach out to them for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing about that. And you might mention if anyone's interested, how they could become a part of the group.
Absolutely. So we do have kind of a formalized website you can actually go to and check that out. And it is socialbankers.squarespace.com. And there's an about section. You'll see me and Natalie there. See if you're the social bankers. There's also a form if you want to join up.
Awesome. So I want to kind of round out this conversation today to talk about something super impressive that you've done over the last 75 days. I have never heard of this challenge before until you started doing it and posting about it. And at first I was like, she's crazy. How does she have the time to do this? Because you're so busy with work. You're so busy in your community. You're busy with your daughter. If you follow Emily, you'll see that she's just a girl on the go. And then she implemented this insane challenge into her daily routine. And I'm going to stop rambling about it. Tell us about this challenge and what it required of you.
All right.
And I'm sure there's others that have done it too, but this is just, it just really impressed me.
Yeah, this was, I love challenges. I love goals. And I know you're also an Enneagram 3 and we just, yes. we love success and attaining things and checking things off of our to-do list. But I've always been really obsessed with challenges ever since I ran my first 5K. I think when I turned 30 and did that and did something that absolutely terrified me. And the feeling after was just like the best thing ever, overcoming that challenge. And it just really took it and put it in a box and you could put your hands around it and be like, I did that, you know.
Yeah.
So the recent challenge was the 75 hard. And so basically what it was 75 days continuously, two 45-minute workouts. One had to be outdoors. You had to read 10 pages every day. In a book, not Audible. So, you know, you could read your book on an exercise bike, but you couldn't, you know, listen in your headphones. You know, you followed a diet that you chose, no cheating, no alcohol, no, a lot of caveats. And anything that you missed put you back at day one. So if you got to day 20 and you forgot and didn't get your gallon of water in, you were starting back over.
Oh my gosh.
So I had been following this hashtag forever on Instagram, the 75 hard hashtag. I was so inspired. And, you know, this is where I think the power of sharing your story. There was a particular lady I follow on Instagram that she started it. And I'm like, she's going to finish that. And I will have not even started. So I think that's where coming back in and sharing that story. So we started, like I had my birthday on Friday and we started on Monday on August 17th and just did it. And so there were a lot of terrible mornings where I did not want to get up because, you know, when you work a long day, if you don't get your morning workout, you've got two at night. So yeah, 75 days, it was 150 workouts, 75 gallons of water, you know, 10 pages every day. I read 6 books, which reignited a love of reading and self-improvement and things like that. So yeah, it's done. I finished on October 30th, last Friday, and
I still can't
believe it's done. I'm so glad it's done though.
If you guys followed Emily through this, like there were times I remember I would be in bed like scrolling because that's a terrible habit I have. So Emily was out there while I was sitting on my butt looking at my phone. Emily's out there like a bicycle in your garage at 10 o'clock sometimes, reading, drinking all this water, getting this in before the end of the day after she's worked all day and been a great mom for her daughter and cooked dinner and did all these things. And I'm sitting there going, what did I do today?
You know, it's so funny. And I think that's why, you know, to me, and I love to, as I mentor, you know, some of our younger female leaders and things at the bank and to set goals and set challenges, because that feeling of overcoming that challenge gives you so much confidence in the next challenge because you know you're going to figure it out. You don't always know at the beginning, or taking on a new task at the bank. You know, there's times you think, well, this is, I'm going to have to quit my job because I will never be able to do this. But when you've sort of exercised that muscle to take that challenge and I will finish it, I just may not know right now how that's going to happen, but I will figure out a way. And I think that muscle gets muscle memory and you just learn to apply that in all aspects of your life. But no challenges for a little bit. yet.
Rest. We can give you some rest.
For the record, I have not worked out since last Friday. I have to.
You deserve it. You deserve this break. So tell me about these mornings when you were waking up and you like are halfway through it and you're like, I literally would rather chop off my right arm right now than get out of my bed and do this workout. How did you persevere? How did you get out of bed to do it?
That is probably the most painful part if you're not a morning person, and I'm not blessed in that capacity. I'm a night owl. I would much rather be up till midnight, 1 a.m. and sleep in. So yeah, that was definitely the hardest. And I think it was that Mel Robbins, when the clock went off, I did not hit snooze.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Like when the clock went off at 4:55 or 3:30 or whatever had to happen that day, you just did it. And yeah, there were a few days I did it and I hated it, and I just went right back in and set a 30-minute timer and laid down on the couch and I was, you know, putting on eyeliner at a gas station on the way to work. But, you know, choosing your hard. And that, yeah, you know, we hear that all the time on social media, and that's a great, you got to choose your hard and choose what you will try to do. And then we have to learn to accept what we can't do. You know, we all have challenges we didn't finish, mm-hmm, you know, and for an achiever, that's very difficult because we grieve that so harshly. We grieve that as
it's
a failure.
It's like the ultimate failure.
Yeah, it's the ultimate. So the 75 hard definitely taught me that you will figure out a way to fit it all in, whether you want to or not. Mm-hmm. And the promises you make to yourself are more important than the promises you've made to someone else. So,
yeah,
you know, taking that on and just agreeing with yourself, this is what success will look like to me at the end of this, and just working toward that.
So what has that success been? Now that you're done and you can hit snooze if you want to, and you know that you like, are you kind of coming out of it, are you like, oh, I've got to do this today, or I've got to do that tonight, and you're like, oh, wait a minute, no, I don't have to because I'm done. Like, what what has been the ultimate prize for finishing this challenge?
I think the ultimate prize is just resting a little bit. I have a hard time just allowing myself to rest. Mm-hmm. I think I have to achieve the, you know, certain things off the list before I can just sit down and enjoy a quiet space. You know, everything has to be done perfectly before I, and it's sort of finishing it, I'm like, I'm in a resting space. And so maybe that's a practice I can take forward just in life in general, is be okay with the resting space, mm-hmm, and not constantly have to feel like the plate has to be so full. Kind of like Allison's reject the hustle.
Yeah.
You know, channel that inner mentality of, you've got that done. That's what you promised yourself you would do. Now just be okay in this space.
Yeah. I think it's good that you mentioned that, because that tells us that you can kind of be a little bit of both. You can, there's times to go hard, there's times to rest, and we both need to understand when that is. Because like you said, as Enneagram 3,
well, self-inflicted pressure.
Yeah, I didn't do enough. I'm still not doing enough.
I don't have any challenges, but I have a 5K and a 10K to go before.
Oh, gosh. You're like queen of the goal setting. Well, Emily, it's been so good to talk to you today. I just am so thankful that the social media world brought us together, and you are such an inspiration to me. I can't tell you how much I appreciate the support you've been, and just to watch what you're doing for the women in your organization. And I think a lot of people are going to be inspired to follow along with you. So do you mind to share how people can follow you?
I would love it, because I love to share and meet new people in that space. So I'm on Facebook as Emily Mays. I'm on Instagram as EO Mays, and Twitter as M_Mays2.
Awesome. And how can they follow Community Spirit?
On Instagram at ComSpiritBank, 2 M's, and Twitter is the same, at ComSpiritBank. Long bank name. Got to shorten it, you know?
Yes. Understand. Well, Emily, give my best to your team. It's so good to see you in person. I know those that are listening can't see her, but I get the luxury of seeing her in person. We haven't got to see each other in a long time. Great to hear your voice too. And thanks for joining along today.
Thanks so much.
Be sure to subscribe to the Girl Banker podcast so that you don't miss an episode, and follow me on Instagram @TheGirlBanker. The views and opinions expressed in the Girl Banker podcast are those of the individual participants and do not reflect the official policy or position of any financial institution or agency. It is produced by Natalie Bartholomew and Bobby Hudspeth.